It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Well, the Motherlode Fair is just around the corner. It's coming up June 27th through the 30th at the fairgrounds in Sonora. We are previewing the event on this weekend's Motherlode Views. Pleased to be joined in the studio by Kim Hembold, the fair manager. Kim, it's great to have you back on Motherlode Views.
Thank you for having me, BJ. This is great.
It's always nice to have you back in studio. How long have you been fair manager now?
About a year and a half now.
About a year and a half. So what did you do? How'd you get involved with the fair prior to that? Because I know you've been very active with the fair.
I started out way back in the 90s as an exhibitor. And then about 1998, I walked into a very busy fair office and offered to help answer phones. And I was hooked from there.
You've been there ever since?
I have.
Is it still a pretty small staff at the fairgrounds?
It's a very small staff.
Okay. And then, so what is the theme of the fair this year?
This year, we are celebrating 85 years of Mines, Mills, and Memories.
So how did that idea come about?
Well, the 85 years, the fair itself has been around since the 1890s. We have been 85 years in one spot there at 220 Southgate in the city of Sonora. So we decided we wanted to pay tribute to that, but also our foundation in the county of mines and mills, but we're also paying a little bit of tribute to Sonora's title of the Queen of the Southern Mines.
Very fun. So give us a preview about what people can expect when they head out to the fair this year.
We've done some new stuff. We actually have two entertainment stages. We have brought back a hypnotist. He'll be on the very front stage right when you walk in. That's our tribal lawn stage. We have a fair memories display in the creekside. We've got full exhibit buildings, and we actually have included in our admission price this year all of our arena events. So there's no more needing a second ticket. Those gates will be open. You can come as go as you please.
So that's new this year, one ticket to see everything at the fairgrounds.
It is.
And then you said fair memories display. What can you tell us about that?
We're bringing out some fair memorabilia. We have our original nugget. We also have a book that was written for our 75th anniversary. So we've pulled some images out of that and some details and put together a small video. But we have a lot of fun and funky fair attire that we're going to put on display there, some old posters that are autographed.
Okay. And you said some entertainment stages, the hypnotist coming this year. Is that going to be on the entertainment stage?
He will be on the tribal lawn stage in the front. He is Tyson, the master hypnotist, and he is sharing that stage with Karen Quest Cowgirl Tricks.
What other types of entertainment can people expect?
Sierra Stage has our full music lineup. We have a headliner every night, and then local and regional bands perform earlier in the evening.
And then how about the arena entertainment this year?
Arena Friday and Saturday has to be L&L Productions, Truck and Tractor Pulls. We have something new on Sunday night. It is a motorized barrel racing event. It is the Motherlode Motios, put on by NorCal Moto Alliance. And that show is actually starting a little bit earlier than Truck and Tractor Pulls. It'll start at 5 and run until about 10 p.m.
So motorized barrel race, I'm intrigued. What does that all entail?
I had to look it up. It's kind of like a rodeo. They're putting the three barrels out there, and there's guys on quads running the cloverleaf pattern.
And then the other two nights, tractor pulls, those are pretty popular in this area?
They are. We have a lot of locals that like to enter their trucks.
And then what can you tell us about the carnival that's on tap this year?
Paul Maurer Shows is coming back, and he has promised to pack the grounds once again with his finest rides.
And then the carnival, does that go all throughout the fair, or is it certain hours?
Our gates are going to be open Thursday and Friday. We open at 3 to 11. And then Saturday, Sunday, we're opening a little earlier, 1 to 11. The carnival runs that entire time.
And if people want to take part in the carnival rides, do they get wristbands or do they do individual rides? How does that work?
They do both. You can either buy individual ride tickets straight from the carnival information booth, or the carnival sells a one-day ride wristband for $45.
So where should people get those?
Carnival booth.
Carnival booth. And then will there be the regular lineup of fair food?
Of course. We actually do have Wing It on Wheels coming back. We've got corn dogs, funnel cakes, our Hawaiian shaved ice coming back again this year. Super popular last year, the giant baby bottles. guaranteed to be cold as your ex's heart.
And then the music that you mentioned, do you get primarily local entertainers, or they come from the region?
Our headliners are from outside the area, but then we did ask for applications once again, so we got some county entertainers, but then we also have some from a little farther away, Amador County being one of them.
And I know a lot of people look forward to the competitions at the fair and entering different competitions. So how does that work, and what type of things can people expect there?
Our stills exhibits are actually up. We have about 640 entries, ranging from fine arts and photography all the way to preserves and baked foods and cut flowers. Those entries started coming in the first part of June. We start judging right away as soon as we get them and start setting the buildings up. So the last things to come in are going to be the flowers and the baked foods. Baked foods come in the morning the fair opens.
So is it volunteers that judge those?
It is.
And then were there any new competitions this year?
We had a couple of new things that we put in that are more fair themed. So we asked for old-time vintage recipes that somebody might have in their mom's recipe box. We got a couple entries on that. We have a fun decorated hat contest.
Did you get some entries on the decorated hat contest?
We did. We got a couple, and they were really fun.
The people that enter, do you see them year after year, or are they usually first-time people who enter?
We get a good mix. We have a lot of our regular exhibitors. They come back every year, and they're excited. They're the first ones to call looking for the handbook in March. We don't usually have it until April. But they come in and grab it, and they go through it, figure out what they want to enter. The new ones sometimes are a little more hesitant. They will just enter one or two things just to try it out and kind of test the waters, see what we can do with them.
Yeah, you mentioned people really looking forward to those events. I bet it's at sometimes an intense competition.
It is. The quilts are a particularly intense competition.
And then, what should people know when it comes to parking and when they're heading out to the fair?
We are very tight on parking. We always have been. Unfortunately, there's just nothing that we can really do about it. But we have a great partner with Tuolumne County Transit, and they are once again offering the free shuttle. So that schedule is actually available on our website at motherlodefair.org.
You don't have to stress about trying to find a parking spot. Just hop on the shuttle, get over, and leave when the shuttle comes back.
Yep, park at the junction.
Park at the junction. And then what type of vendors do you typically have at the fair?
We have a lot of commercial vendors. They're the typical Kitchen Craft, Cutco. They're selling knives or pots and pans. But then we have some fun henna tattoos, permanent jewelry, that type of thing.
Do you have nonprofits that also set up at the fair?
We have a few nonprofits that are coming.
And then, so where do you find all those different types of booths on the fairgrounds?
Those are mostly going to be in the tribal building this year. The ones that are outside, if you've been to the fair in the past, they've been alongside the Sierra building. Those won't be there now. They're going to be over on the other side of the lawn where the entertainment is.
We need to take a quick break. We're talking with Kim Hembold. She is the fair manager of the Motherlode Fair. That big event is coming up soon, June 27th through the 30th at the fairgrounds in Sonora. She's telling us about everything we need to know ahead of the upcoming fair on this weekend's Motherlode Views. And Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. This year's upcoming Motherlode Fair has a theme of 85 years of mines, mills, and memories. We're talking with the fair manager, Kim Hembold, on this weekend's Motherlode Views. The fair itself coming up June 27th through the 30th at the fairgrounds in Sonora. Kim Hembold, next thing I wanted to ask you about was the livestock area. That's always a draw, and it's important for the local community. What can people expect when they head over to the livestock barns this year?
We actually have over 500 animals entered. About 230 exhibitors are going to be down there. We're going to have a very full schedule. Our shows down there will actually start on Wednesday before fair opens. We're kicking off with the poultry show.
And then when is the livestock auction going to be?
Saturday, June 29th, we have a previous buyer's reception at 3 p.m. and auction kicks off at 4.
So if people have not ever taken part in that and they want to bid on some of these animals, what do they have to do?
They can check out our website. We have a junior livestock auction tab on our website. That gives them a little bit of a background on the auction and how it works. When they come to the fair, they'll need to register to be a buyer, pick up your sale order, and start walking through the barns and talking to those kids, find out what they've got into their projects.
I've seen even one kid came into the radio station this week and was giving a presentation, and it really is a great experience for these kids, isn't it?
It is. They learn everything. They learn public speaking. They're learning responsibility and caring for an animal. We have a program that they are required to complete with the state of California that is the YQCA program. It is Youth for the Quality Care of Animals. So it teaches them not just humane treatment, but the ethics behind what they're doing and how to produce a quality food product.
And then what is kind of the format of the livestock auction?
It varies from year to year. So it is a random sale order. Now that we have both small and large animals combined into one auction, they're kind of mixed in with the larger animals, but it's a really simple process. Grab your seat, grab your bidder's card, and just start waving it in the air.
And then is it just 4-H and FFA, or can any kids enter the livestock auction?
We have independents as well. They don't have any club or chapter affiliation. So as long as they meet the qualifications, which they have to be 9 years old by December 31st of 2023 for this year, and not older than 18, they're eligible to participate as well.
And is there a way, too, if there's people in the community that want to help the youth with this process, but maybe just don't want to actually purchase an animal, are there other ways to go about helping them financially?
If they wanted to maybe help out, you know, find a kid that maybe needs a loan to start their project, to help out with feed that way, they could do that. We don't have any additional incentive that we can give them as far as an add-on. We don't allow those.
Okay. And then anything else that I didn't ask about in regards to the fair that you'd want to point out here?
You know, the big thing is livestock. I spent 20 years in livestock since 2017 as livestock superintendent. These kids are amazing. If you knew truly the amount of time and labor that goes into these, and they are a labor of love. You fall in love with this project. You're bringing it to the fair and showing it. But walk through the barns and talk to these kids. And they are so eager to explain what they have done and what they've learned. A lot of them have breeding projects. The fancy birds are amazing. Walk through that poultry barn and look at some of these huge birds and watch the turkey show.
You know, it's great to see active 4-H and FFA programs. How would you kind of describe the state of those organizations right now from your perspective?
They actually seem to be on the rise. We have, for the first time, 2 4-H photography clubs. So they entered in the junior photography in the stills department as well as all of their animals. And they're learning so much more. It's not just about animals. They can learn canning and preserving. They can learn baking and cake decorating, photography and welding.
You know, I'll put you on the spot. Any for a first-time fairgoer who's going to be coming out for that weekend, anything that you would definitely recommend that they don't miss during their experience?
Oh, the whole thing.
Every little corner. See it all.
Walk in every building. The Creekside, you know, Ron Hamilton had been a volunteer, a member of our auction committee, and then a director, and I brought him back this year to work on our memories exhibits, and he has done a fantastic job. He's gathered stuff from all over the county.
Yeah, that memories exhibit, I imagine that's going to be a draw, too, because people who come to the fair come year after year, and it's a big part of who they are and their family.
Right.
And we're talking about the Motherlode Fair on this weekend's Motherlode Views, joined by Kim Hembold, who is the fair manager. Remind us again, so for people who want to get tickets to the fair, what is the best way to do so?
The fastest way is to go to motherlodefair.org. We have a buy tickets button right up there at the top of the page.
And are they different prices for different days, or is it all the same?
It's the same for every day. Our gate price, there's a little bit of an increase now because we are including the arena events in that price. $17 for adults, $10 for seniors, 62 and better. Kids ages 6 to 12 are $12, and then kids 5 and under are free. But Thursday, kids 12 and under and seniors are going to get in free, compliments of MACT Health Board.
A great day for the kids to come. Do you still get people who line up that first day of the fair anxious to get in?
We do.
Mm-hmm. And I'm understanding you're not quite going to announce any special recognition yet, but that might come down the road here?
We do have an outstanding buyer that will be announced just before the auction starts at 4 p.m.
So make sure to attend that and listen to who that's going to be.
Right.
And what is kind of the role of volunteers? What role do they play when getting this fair up and running and going?
They are a very integral part. We could not do any of what we do without our volunteers. They're not just helping in the buildings and on the grounds. Our Junior Livestock Auction Committee is huge, and they're the ones that are responsible for not just the auction, but they're helping us flip those rings and get them ready for species changes, make sure we have everything we need. The clerks just couldn't do what they do if they didn't have the auction committee down there.
Do you have a lot of sponsors, too, that step up to make this event a possibility?
We do. Our presenting sponsor once again this year is Black Oak Casino Resort. Arena sponsor again, Chicken Ranch Casino Resort. 209 Multimedia is the presenting sponsor of the free concert series on the Sierra stage. But we have smaller ones like Big O Tires of Sonora. We've got an opening day car show that'll be from 3 to 7 down behind the livestock area, kind of the motorized pit area. They're sponsoring that for us, and that was something that, you know, they said, we want a sponsor. We said, hey, we've got a car show, and they were all over it. But we have new ones. With Senator Marie Alvarado Gill is actually one of our sponsors. Dignity Health, Mark Twain Medical Center, and Dodge Ridge Mountain Resort. They've all stepped up and want to be a part of this community event.
And I can't remember that car show you mentioned. Is that a new thing, or was that here last year?
There was actually one at the fair back in the 1950s. So okay. We decided to bring that back just as a new thing. They will actually only be there until about 7 because the Sonora Model A Car Club will be there and they need to leave before it gets too dark.
So what type of cars do you anticipate? A whole mix of different years?
Both of the local car clubs are going to be there. So we are going to have everything from Model A's up into the 40s and 50s.
That'll be a fun aspect to see. I haven't looked at the temperatures yet. Sometimes in the past you said the hottest fair in California. Is that kind of a draw as well?
Yeah, I try not to look at the temperatures because we are the hottest little fair in California, and that's really has stuck no matter where we have tried to put the fair.
It's always a fun event regardless of how hot it is, and at night it's a great time to come out when the temperatures cool down and always big crowds during the evening.
We are talking about the Motherlode Fair. It's coming up June 27th through the 30th at the Motherlode Fairgrounds in Sonora, talking with Kim Hembold, who is the general manager of the fair. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Programming note next week on Motherlode Views, we're going to be focusing on Tuolumne County government. A new fiscal year spending plan is taking effect July 1st. There have been some tough budget decisions in Tuolumne County. We're going to recap some of those budget discussions and hear a little bit about what's planned this next fiscal year when it comes to Tuolumne County government and the challenges ahead. The CAO of Tuolumne County, Tracy Riggs, will be joining us in studio. That's next week on Motherlode Views. Our final segment of this week's show coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
And we're talking about the Motherlode Fair on this weekend's Motherlode Views coming up June 27th through the 30th at the fairgrounds in Sonora. The fair manager, Kim Hembold, is joining us on the program. And Kim, you had talked a little bit about the stage, and I know that's a big draw with the entertainment. What else can you tell us about what is planned there?
Well, we have headliners every night. Thursday night is Marty O'Reilly with the full band. Friday night, we're going to have Seven Summers, which is a Morgan Wallen tribute. And then Saturday night is Ariel Jean Band. They're out of the Sacramento area, and they're kind of Dixie Chicks. It's three sisters. They're a really fun band to watch. Sunday night is our top headliner, and it is Idol X. He is a Billy Idol tribute performer out of Southern California.
Sounds like a pretty good mix of entertainment this year.
It is.
Do you try to get a mix, or they try to get similar type shows every year?
We always want to have a variety because we want something for everybody. We don't want to just cater to one type.
And then, the fair is obviously the big event that comes every summer. What are the types of things that take place at the fairgrounds during the other times of the year?
We have everything from the community Christmas Eve Day dinner is held there. The Sonora Christmas Artisan Fair, the Thanksgiving weekend craft fair, that made a comeback last year, and it will be back again this year. Our buildings are always available for rentals, but this year we are going to start a new event. We've partnered with our friends of the Motherlode Fairgrounds, and we are doing the Mountain Misery Brew Fest on October 19th.
Sure, a lot of people will be interested in that event after they get past the fair here.
I hope so. We've got four really good entertainers that are coming out. Two of them are actually coming out of Nashville. We're just looking to try to do something different, provide a new community event. And this was actually the only available weekend that we could find on our calendar. We've had a full calendar for the last year.
With those, that event and the other events that you mentioned, do you see it kind of the fairgrounds being an economic generator for this community?
I think it is. We have, you know, we do have a lot of memorial services that are being held down there, and obviously those aren't generating a whole lot. But we do have those bigger events, and they are the community hub.
How about the camping aspect, too, at the fairgrounds?
The RV park is always a big draw, especially during the summer. It's normally full on weekends. If we do have an event in the area, they like to stay there. But it's also someplace that they can use. We have an RV dump station that's open 24/7, 365 days a year.
What type of role does the fairgrounds play when it comes to emergencies and emergency response as well?
The Motherlode Fair always stands ready to be activated if we get the call. We've played the role of an evacuation center, especially during the Stanislaus Complex fire and the Rim fire. But most recently, we have been utilized as a fire camp by CAL FIRE.
And what type of, how does the fair get revenue? Can you explain that a little bit? Does it come from the state or does it just come from these events?
We get a very tiny allocation from the state. It's about $48,000 for this year. And that is, has to be supplemented by all of our rentals, the RV park, all of our buildings. And that's just, it's kind of a difficult thing to try to supplement and to know where your income is going to be when you're looking at these are my expenses and now how many times do I have to rent that building or what do we need to do to upgrade these buildings. And we have been able to do a major renovation on the Creekside building. The inside now has new paint, new carpet, and we actually have some new appliances coming into our Manzanita and Sierra buildings, and it came off of our AB 1499 funds that we just received, which is a portion of the sales tax generated on fairgrounds.
And then you mentioned you're the fair manager. You also have a small staff. There's also a fair board. What role does the board play?
The fair board is appointed by the governor, and they provide oversight to the organization. So we right now actually have three vacancies. We are looking for people to apply for that fair board, and they can do that by going to the governor's website.
So go to the governor's website and then apply through there, and then the governor makes a pick and those people are on the board?
Yeah, there's an interview process, some background checks, but I mean, if you make it, then we welcome you to our fair family.
And then the board meetings, are those held monthly, or how often do those take place?
They're normally monthly. They will not meet this month because their meeting would have fallen right in the middle of fair. They meet the fourth Wednesday of the month.
Any other organizations that help out the fair at all?
4-H. 4-H does a lot down there. They use our buildings for their meetings, and then they turn around and volunteer to help us get ready for fair. So they're down there doing planting and cleaning up.
Anything else at the fairgrounds these days that are keeping you busy?
Everything.
It is that time of the year.
It is. The remodel has taken a lot of time. It was a very slow process, and now we're just waiting on our appliances to be delivered and planning our next projects.
So let's get back to this. We got just a few minutes left on this weekend's Motherlode Views. At the beginning, you kind of went through with, talked about the carnival events and all those type of things. So remind us the main stage events, what people can expect over the course of the fair.
We have Marty Riley on Thursday, Seven Summers on Friday, Ariel Jean Band Saturday, and Sunday is Idol X. On our Tribal Lawn stage, we have Tyson Master Hypnotist and Karen Quest Cowgirl Tricks performing there daily.
And then one ticket for the arena events and to get in. So what can they expect at the arena events again?
We have truck and tractor pulls Friday and Saturday night and the Motherlode Modeos motorized barrel racing and freestyle motocross show on Sunday night.
It's a tough one to say, but it looks like it's going to be a great show.
It's very tough to say.
And then the livestock auction on Saturday, that's at 3 o'clock?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. And how much is typically raised during those livestock auctions?
We topped out at $1 million a couple of years ago, my last year as livestock superintendent, but we've been about $800,000.
And then people, if they want to come, they can come and it can be a business or an individual who can bid on the livestock of the kids?
It can be anybody. In fact, if you don't want to end up buying a whole steer, find a couple of people to go in with you, and you know, we're happy to do those splits and help you out.
And then all throughout the different buildings, they'll have different aspects as well?
We have two buildings with competitive exhibits in them. We have commercial exhibits inside our tribal building. And then the Manzanita is going to be kind of an air-conditioned space. We'll have tables set up in there for dining, and there's a nursing and baby lounge there.
And then the fair itself, I know it's one of the busiest weekends of the year for you personally. Are there things that you really look forward to that you just really enjoy about that weekend?
I got to have a funnel cake.
The funnel cakes, one of my favorite as well, yes. And again, so tickets, best place to get those ahead of time?
Motherlodefair.org. There's a buy tickets button right at the top.
Well, anything I didn't ask about that's worth noting as we get to the end of today's show?
I don't think so. You know, we really want everybody to come out and celebrate with us. 85 years in one spot is really remarkable when you're on a little postage stamp in the city of Sonora.
I noticed, too, on your website, I mentioned you were hiring positions ahead of the fair, and this might be airing before that time, but do you have to find people for part-time work to make this fair happen?
We do. We always need maintenance help. We need ticket sellers and ticket takers. But we also love to have volunteers that will come sit in our buildings, help keep an eye over the competitive exhibits that people have entered, and talk to people. You know, our fair guests, as they're coming through, might have questions about how the process works or maybe why something won a particular ribbon.
You mentioned, too, that Senator Maria Alvarado Gill is one of the sponsors of this year's fair. Is that unique to have a state lawmaker sponsoring a fair?
It's the first time that I can remember. And she will also be there on grounds. She's going to be actually right inside the main gates.
I guess it'll be nice if you have issues to take to her that you're concerned about at the state level, good time to talk and bring those straight to her if you can find her there on the fairgrounds.
Exactly.
And we've been talking about the Motherlode Fair on this weekend's Motherlode Views, talking to Kim Hembold, who is the fair manager. And we can't forget about the shuttle as well, too. So remind us about what people need to know about coming to and from the fairgrounds.
The best way to get there is actually provided by Tuolumne County Transit. They have a free shuttle. The schedule is available on our website at motherlodefair.org, but they will be picking up and dropping back off near TJ Maxx at the junction.
It's the easiest way to get to and from the fairgrounds that weekend. You know, as fairs are obviously changing over the years, they're big events in communities. Are you optimistic about the future of the local county fair when you look ahead?
I am. Fairs are kind of used to just flying by the seat of our pants. We're used to having something change at the last minute. We can adapt to that change quickly, problem solve. But I think that the Motherlode Fair is something that's going to continue to be around for a very long time, and we're going to be able to change with the times. I mean, we've already made a lot of changes in the way we are doing business, the things that we are putting onto our grounds.
When you say change with the times, what do you mean by that? Just new technology?
New technology. You know, as I've been going back through old pictures, you look at the way the fairs used to be set up, and there were a lot of industrial exhibits. This fair, before we had buildings, we had everything in tents. So we're looking for increasing our revenue capabilities through our rentals. So, you know, upgrading our kitchens is one thing, putting some better appliances in there. And we also want to make sure that our grounds are usable for the types of events that are coming. We have a holistic fair coming up, and that's going to be something we've never had there.
Well, we wish you the best of luck on the upcoming weekend. I know it's a big event for the community. Well, thank you so much for coming on Motherlode Views.
Thanks for having me.
Again, we thank Kim Hembold, who is the manager of the Motherlode Fair. She was joining us on today's Motherlode Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.